Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
To yet another edition of the highly successful
Yes.
Two Mics on the Record podcast.
That's right. We love it.
With Audio Boom.
Yeah.
We've been doing a great many things in the last few days.
We certainly have.
Some of which we will reveal.
Yeah.
Some of which I guess we should probably not reveal.
Yeah.
In case the innocent get blamed.
What's your problem with watches, by the way?
Watches?
Why are you always having to go at me about watches?
Why are you bringing watches up?
Well, I know, because you were, you know, muttering and you know, getting into my private life, really. But
well, you've already told me watches. That you've got 27 watches, right?
No, well, they're just trash watches, and people have those all the time.
Well, I would call them trash watches as well. Well, you know, you've always said to me that you've got a Rolex, right?
Yeah.
Which is not a trash watch.
I think everybody... Yeah, well, I agree. I buy all these cheap little watches, right, because they look good. I've got one on now, which is actually called Lacoste. I'm not saying Lacoste is cheap.
Lacoste, not very much.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
I wouldn't pay more than 10 quid for that watch.
That was £120.
Looks like it came out of a lucky bag.
Hang on, that was £120.
Well, it's not worth anything.
It's got a beautiful blue face.
No, it's got a horrible watch.
It's got a blue strap. Most of the things I do in life revolve around the colour blue.
Except for your reasons. Car, which is gold.
It's gold, my car. Yeah,
it was meant to be blue, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't meant to
be
blue.
You ordered the wrong colour, didn't you?
No, I had a silver blue one before. I wanted a gold one. And all I can say is that this is a working watch and all that. Now,
occasionally, so you say you've got a Rolex, right?
Yeah, but when I get into, like, I wear a suit and I wear a tie, I go and see important people, I think
When's
that you should...
When's the last time you did that?
I think you should be dignified about it and wear a Rolex. So what's wrong with that? So, I mean, you've never had a decent watch, have you? You've admitted that.
I'm wearing quite a nice watch.
Rubbish. How much does that cost?
It's not a question of how much it costs. It's a very nice watch. In fact,
looks like an imitation watch we used to buy on the streets of New York.
My daughter bought me this, so if I were you, I'd keep your fucking mouth shut or else you get a smack.
Now, listen, we're cutting down on that language.
Well,
okay?
No, we're not cutting down on the language at all. Yeah, not on this fucking show. Yeah. Here's the point.
Excuse me.
Here's the point, right?
Yes.
If, in fact, I took one of my watches in to get a new a strap for it.
Oh, yeah.
And what I didn't realise was that
new
by mistake...
Strap.
Yeah, because it needed a new
10
strap.
10 quid? Yeah.
No, well, yeah. I wish it was 10 quid.
Yeah.
The guy said to me, I said, I know it's not a particularly expensive watch. It cost about 200 quid. He said, no. He said, it's not about the money. It's about how it looks. And he said, this particular watch that you're talking about, which is not the one I'm wearing, he says, one of the nicest watches I've seen.
Rubbish.
That's what he said.
What
and this was a jeweller
watches.
In Canary Wharf. Then he gave me
Some
a strap for
junk.
It.
Yeah.
He gave me a strap for it, right?
Mm.
And the strap, unbeknownst to me, was snakeskin.
Right.
And that cost £90.
£90 for a strap?
Yeah.
Do you know how much I pay for a strap if I want a new one for a Rolex?
I don't know.
£800.
What did you do that for?
Well, I'm in the process of doing it now.
Right. So why are you telling me all this?
Well, because you've been muttering and moaning to people, you know, that once again, you know, Porky, you know, doesn't have any values in life and all that kind
of stuff.
That's
not true.
And I resent that enormously.
Well, that's not true. I haven't been talking to people about you. I don't talk to people about you.
I've worked very hard for
very
many years.
But what I have discovered, is that you are in the process of acquiring another Rolex.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Why?
Because I want one.
Why do you want two Rolexes?
I'm not going to have two Rolexes.
Uh-huh.
Are
you going to sell the other one,
eh? I might do, or I might give it away.
Give it away? To a homeless person?
No, not to a homeless person.
Last week I gave you some free beer.
Yeah.
This week I'm going to give you a Rolex.
No, not actually. No,
no wonder they hang around outside your apartment.
No, there are people in my family, maybe my extended family.
Extended family?
Who are coming up to their 30th birthday.
What, do you mean like your niece?
I'm not going into
she
it.
She won't
going,
want your Rolex.
Hang on, I'm not going into it. I'm not going
she
into it.
She won't want your Rolex.
I didn't say it was my niece, and in fact, it's not my niece.
Well, who's coming up to their 30th birthday?
It doesn't matter. Extended family. I'm talking extended family. I'm not going into it. Right. But the point is that if I have a spare Rolex, there's nothing wrong with getting that serviced in Switzerland by the Rolex watch company.
And how much does that cost?
To send it there and back.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's about £450 or something like that.
£450 to service the watch.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
What fucking world are you living in?
What do you mean?
Well, it's ridiculous.
No, it's not. No, it's what it costs.
£450 for a lot of people is a month's money.
No, it's not a month's money. Yes, it could be a week's money. Could be a week's money for some
people.
No,
it's a month's money.
No, it's not. It's ridiculous.
How much do you think is the average wage in this country?
It's now about 28 grand.
26.
26, is it? Yeah.
How much is that?
A month?
Yeah.
That's £2,300. So,
about the tax?
Yeah, but it's not down to 400. Anyway, look, it doesn't matter. The point is, I've decided this time of life, you can't take it with you, so why don't I get myself an upgraded Rolex? And that's what I've decided to do.
And you're going to get it when? Are you going to put a picture of it out on Twitter like you did when you bought your pens?
No, but I was proud of my pens because they were Beatles pens.
Yeah.
Well, lots of people like Rolexes because they are a piece of fantastic...
You're not worried you're going to get your hand macheted off?
No, I won't get my hand macheted off.
I bet you will, because you live in the very, very, very criminally dangerous part of Surrey, don't you?
No, I don't.
You do?
No, I don't.
Well, you were mugged already once. They didn't take your watch then, did they? Because you were wearing that crappy one.
If you were wearing
a Rolex, they'd have had your arm.
Well, I have ways and means of looking after myself, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you hurl yourself to the ground.
I hurled myself to the ground. Yeah. And in fact, funny enough...
Mate, curl yourself up into the fetal position?
No, I didn't, actually. I lashed out my feet. Now, funny enough, somebody...
Have they caught those guys yet?
No, they haven't caught them yet.
No.
But guess what?
That's strange, isn't it?
Guess what the latest trick by these moped muggers is?
What is it?
They've read a story that in Manchester, the Greater Manchester Police have actually started fighting back against the moped muggers by putting, unidentified policemen on mopeds.
They're on sort of those kind of dirt bikes, aren't they?
They're not actually, because that's a giveaway. They've actually got them on mopeds. So what do you call a police car with no markings on it? It's not a police car.
This is a riddle.
No, a police car.
What do you call a police car with no markings on it?
Boom,
boom. It's an undercover car, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But it's not.
Plain clothes.
It's not called an unidentified police car. What is it called? There's, you know, when you're on the motorway sometimes and you see
unmarked.
These signs, unmarked police cars, right? So they've got unmarked mopeds. Uh-huh. And they've got young cops riding round, you know, with helmets on, looking a bit like the yobbos who are the real criminals. And they can be alerted instantly to any sort of moped crime. They then go after them.
Yes.
And the latest...
They knock them off, don't they?
They can knock them off. But the latest I've heard, and this is very, very good, is that these nasty, bastard, villainous kids, you know, who are posing as criminals, but in fact just terrifying people...
Yeah.
The trick so far is for the guy in the back to take his helmet off, throw it on the road, and then the cops have to stop chasing them for health and safety reasons.
I thought they changed the law.
You're absolutely right. The last time that happened, a senior police officer in, I think it was the Thames Valley Force, overruled that rule and said, no, keep going after them.
Exactly.
They got them.
Well, I much prefer your solution, which was to say ban all two men on mopeds.
That's right, you should.
Because if there's two men on a moped, they're up to no good.
Absolutely.
So that would surely solve the problem.
It surely would solve the problem. Now, let me tell you, somebody who is very well known to a lot of people in this country was so concerned about my well-being with that heinous attack, that horrendous... Heinous and horrendous...
There's an eye in it. There's an eye on the other side of the N.
Heinous.
It's not heinous.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, but anyway, let me tell you this.
Who's this person you're talking about?
Some very famous, was very, very concerned about my welfare.
Oh, yeah.
And when I saw him this
week... Well, your mental welfare.
And,
Was he concerned that you were making it up?
No, I have to say, he's a Yorkshire lad. He's a Yorkshire lad.
Well, Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock.
Who was it then?
I was in pub the other day.
Geoffrey Boycott.
Geoffrey Boycott.
Who was it then?
And I was with Mr. Alan Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
And a few colleagues from TalkSport,
a
gentleman who was sitting there said, "Mate, I was so worried when I heard about this. Is it true? Did it really happen?"
So and he didn't believe you?
No. He said,
he's asking you, did it really happen?
No.
So he clearly doesn't believe you.
He believed it, but he said, "I can't believe how brave you were, in fighting them off, okay?"
What a load of rubbish.
Do you know who it was?
Who was it?
It was David Seaman.
David Seaman?
Yeah, the England goalkeeper, one of England's greatest ever goalkeepers.
You said that they were wearing oven gloves, ones that attacked you. Maybe they were wearing goalkeeper's gloves.
No.
It was David Seaman that attacked you.
No, don't be ridiculous, honestly. You know, what fanciful nonsense. But what I'm saying is, David open-eyed as I told him the brutality of the attack and brutality. How I fought it off and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the story
stuff,
gets more brutal with every time you tell it.
And he told me how clever I was to... See, I bamboozled these attackers of mine by saying, I can't give you the key to my car. It doesn't have a key. It's a keyless car.
Yeah.
That completely bamboozled them. They didn't know what to do.
Well, you just told them a lie.
And I
well,
confused them.
That's been your entire career. You tell people a lot of lies and you bamboozle them. That's how you managed to get so many jobs.
I confused them. But anyway, the police are now fighting back on that one and we should all be grateful about that.
As okay, never mind that. Let's get back to the Rolex, right? Yeah. How much are you paying for this new Rolex?
Why is that important?
Well, because people want to know.
Why?
You don't mind telling people the truth, do you?
I don't mind telling people the truth.
Yeah.
My new Rolex is going to cost me £5,000. What's wrong with that?
That's a ridiculous amount of money.
No, it's not an expensive
that's
Rolex.
It's ridiculous.
No, it's not.
Why would you want to pay £5,000 for a watch?
Because it's a beautiful watch.
You've already got a beautiful watch.
No, this has got a blue face. Admission. I wanted an Everton Rolex.
A blue face?
Yeah, it's got a blue face, honestly.
What sort of a blue face?
Well, it's, you know, the dial on which the hands go round.
Is it blue
and
gold?
No, the strap is silver and gold, and I've had to have that removed, by the way.
But, I mean, the face is in blue and gold.
The face is blue and gold.
See, that sounds to me very ostentatious.
No, actually, the face is blue, and the circle around the watch is kind of gold.
Does it have Roman numerals?
Yes, it has Roman numerals.
And what colour are they?
White.
They're
or
white.
Silver. Like
silver. You don't know, do you?
I do.
Are you sure you're buying this watch?
Yes, it's been serviced.
But where is it now?
Why
not wearing it?
Well, I'm not wearing it because after I agreed the purchase, it has now gone to a
Seems
Rolex.
Seems quite cheap for a Rolex, actually.
Well, it is. That's what
has
I'm saying.
Has it been knocked off?
No, not at all.
Are you sure?
Absolutely certain.
You sure it hasn't been stolen?
Definitely not. But it's not brand new from
Wouldn't
Rolex.
Wouldn't that be funny if it had been?
No, it's not brand new from Rolex.
Some poor bugger had his watch stolen and it's ended up in the Porky treasure trove.
Well, 85%...
Who are you buying it from?
I'm not telling you. But 85%... I'm buying from a reputable dealer
really?
In watches.
Okay.
Now, 85% of all Rolexes in this country are not new. The only ones that are new are usually the very, very high-end expensive ones, which come direct from Rolex in Switzerland.
Right.
But, I mean, there can't be anything wrong with the Rolex.
Did you buy the one you've got currently second-hand?
Yes, I did.
And how much was that?
That was...
You told me you paid £10,000 for that.
No, I didn't pay £10,000 for it, no.
Well, that's what you told me.
No, I didn't, know.
What would you pay for it, then?
I can't remember, but it wasn't £10,000.
Was it less than that?
No, I think it was more, actually.
More?
Yeah, but...
Jesus.
Yeah,
and
but
you're going to give it away?
No, I'm not going to give it away.
You just told me you were going to give it away.
I might do to a member of my family for a birthday. But anyway, the point I'm making is, the point I'm trying to make here is that the only sort of Rolexes you bought new from Rolex... Oh, every Rolex in the world has a distinctive serial number on the back.
Right.
And so...
Or just a serial number, that's fine. It doesn't have to be distinctive.
I mean,
if it's got a serial number...
That's right.
It doesn't have to be distinctive,
that's right.
To be fair.
And so you know that this is genuinely a Rolex, because you can walk into the Rolex HQ in St. James
where
Square...
Where the men in the white coats hang out.
Where the men in white coats hang out. That's right, with their little eyeglasses and all
it's
that kind
of
stuff. It's
not the only place
you've
been where they've got men in white coats, is it?
And they look at it and they say, okay, and then they can tell you its service history and all that kind of stuff, you know.
So you've got all that, have you?
I've got all that, yeah.
And how old is this particular watch you're buying?
It matters not, because the more expensive Rolexes can be up to 30 or 40 years old.
Really?
However, a friend of mine, right, one of the reasons why I decided to purchase this particular watch, and it's not expensive, really, is it?
Well, of course it is. £5,000 for a watch.
Yeah, but the reason...
You buy a car for that.
The reason I came across...
And a family holiday.
The reason I came across the opportunity to buy it was because a friend of mine was dealing with the same jewellery trader, same watch trader.
Well, the knockoff guy.
No, he's not a knockoff guy, and who has sold him a brand new Rolex for £52,000.
Well, it can't be brand new, can it?
It is brand new.
Well, why is he selling it? If he's a dealer,
he is an official.
He's like a used car salesman.
No. He's an official, recognised Rolex trader, as they call him in this country.
Why hasn't he got his own jewellery shop then?
He has.
But he wanders around to see you guys, does he?
No. You don't have to go to his shop, because his shop is based in Hatton Garden, right? Yeah. So if you say, look, I don't want to come to Hatton Garden, muggers hang around in Hatton Garden, as you well know from the Hatton Garden raid when they got
into...
Well,
they're not muggers, are they?
They're robbers and all that kind of stuff.
Like bank robbers.
So what you say is, I'd like a discreet meeting in a hotel lounge, you know, on the other side of the city, and comes along with his briefcase, and it's, when you open the briefcase, It's got beautiful, like, stuff inside, you know what I mean?
Stuff. Does it fold out?
Yeah, it kind of folds out. It's got trays in it and all that kind of stuff. And he shows you this stuff, you know.
Are you sure he's not all knocked off?
No, 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 not at all. It's
sounds like it. Like it travels around with a load of stolen watches.
No,
in his bag.
No, 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 no. But the point is, it's
hotel lobbies.
It can't look like a briefcase with a load of watches in. Otherwise, he'd get mugged, wouldn't he? Bashed over the head.
Well,
and,
indeed.
And assaulted by moped muggers.
Does this guy wear a Rolex as well?
I don't know, to be honest. I didn't really notice when I met him this week. No. Mm. But he knows his Rolexes, believe me.
Right.
He,
well, of course I believe you.
Yeah, he knows a Rolex.
So when are we going to get a look at this blue
from
and gold
a roller
Rolex?
Braid. A roller blade. Roller blade.
Blade. When are we going to see this Rolex?
I'm not sure I'll ever bring it out in public.
Well, what's the point of buying it then?
Well, because it's something you like to have. I mean, for instance, I've never...
There's no point having it if you're not going to wear it.
No,
surely.
I've never used my Beatles pens.
Never used them?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not sure I want to bring them out in public. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't if I were you.
No.
I'd keep them very well hidden.
Although they're beautiful pens.
No, they're not.
Everybody's seen
they're
a picture
not.
Of them.
I've seen a picture of them. They're not beautiful.
The Sgt. Pepper's
in fact,
one
I've seen
is Kaleidoscope.
Because we went to do something on Two Mics TV, if you remember, shortly after you'd bought them.
Oh, yeah,
and I went to use the pen. It didn't bloody work.
Well, no, that's because it hadn't been properly loaded up, you see.
Well, I mean, if I spent $3,000 a pen, the least I expected to do is actually write. Right? In the same way that if I bought a $5,000 Rolex, you wouldn't expect it not to tell the time.
Oh, just tell the time. Okay,
well, that's good.
That.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I'm not worried about
I'm
it.
I'm so thrilled,
never...
actually, because I very, very rarely spend money myself.
What?
I like to look after
that's
other
all
people
you do.
All the time.
No,
you
only spend money on yourself
no,
all the time.
No, no. And to
you bought
buy...
the pens for $3,000. That was on yourself.
Yes, but that's an investment.
That was last month.
That was an investment. That's an investment. They will.
What about when you flew yourself first class to Mallorca?
It wasn't. It was business.
Business
class.
Well,
yeah.
You still flew yourself there.
Yeah, yeah, but
that
I mean, come on,
benefit.
How many holidays have you ever known me to go on in all the time you've known me? Never.
Well,
I don't.
You used to go on a lot more holidays when they were free, is all I know.
Well, yes, but I mean, if somebody invites me to come and enjoy their palatial villa in somewhere like St. Lucia or something, then it's only polite to say, yeah, okay, fine.
So, in fact, you're not allergic to going on holiday, you're just allergic to paying for it.
No, it's not that. It's just I don't have the time, you know.
Really?
Life is a
you
busy
have time.
Thing. Don't have the time.
Okay. Have you seen the time, by the way?
Have you seen the time? I've seen the time.
The time
yeah.
is marching on.
Right.
So let's talk about something other than watches.
Well, I tell you what I want to talk to you about, right? Now, I saw this survey this week, right? And I nearly smashed in the information device I was reading because
really?
It's so wrong.
You shouldn't be so violent.
What it's all about is it's about the greatest TV detective of all time, right?
Yeah.
And we've all had our favourites over the years.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe that the one that most people say, oh, that was the most impressive one, was Blinking Morse.
Yeah, Morse. Well, a lot of people
I
liked Inspector
Morse.
I actually prefer Lewis, to be honest. Lewis,
yeah, I prefer
who
Lewis,
was
yeah.
Morse's assistant,
yeah.
is actually much better than Morse, to be honest.
It says here, the curmudgeonly, beer-loving Oxford detective retains his place in TV viewers' hearts. Mm. It may be nearly 20 years since the final episode of Inspector Morse was made. In fact, such is his enduring popularity that not only has the ITV series been voted the best crime drama of all time, but the Morse prequel, Endeavour, has come fourth in the poll, and
really?
Another Morse spin-off, Lewis, was 12th. I agree with you. I think Lewis is much better.
Yeah.
I thought Lewis was a good sidekick to Morse, but I think that the boy Fox, I can't remember his first name
Fox,
now.
Fox, yes.
Is a much better sidekick to Lewis.
Yeah, it's not Louis Fox.
Edward.
It's
no,
Edward.
No, Edward's his father or
Edmund.
His uncle or something. No, it's from the famous Fox acting dynasty.
It is. Yeah.
And his name is.
You want me to look it up?
No, no, he's looking.
I can look it up.
No, because I'll remember it in a minute. But also, he played a great sidekick who was a former Cambridge graduate who wanted to become a monk.
Oh yeah.
Went into a semestry.
Yeah. A what?
A semestry.
You mean a semestry?
A semestry.
A
that's
seminary.
Where,
you mean?
Seminary. That's right. Where monks train.
Semestry.
Okay?
I think it's something else.
I think it is.
I don't know
okay.
what it is.
Seminary is where monks train.
Yeah.
And then decided that you know he had a question about his faith and all that kind of stuff. Came out
right.
and became a copper. Now, what's
but
his
a very
name?
Erudite copper.
Yeah, but what's his name in the series?
In the series, I can't remember.
But anyway, he knows everything, and Lewis is a bit of a thickhead and knows nothing.
Yeah.
So as they're working in
but
Oxford,
he has a good nose.
Good nose for crime. But as they're working in Oxford, Oxford's full of some of the brightest people in the country,
supposedly.
They're always coming across like Latin quotes and books written by old Galileo and all this kind of stuff.
Galileo.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Galileo. That's right, yeah.
Galileo.
And of course,
Galileo.
Lewis,
who was singing that the other night.
Yeah, basically a hard-working cop, hasn't got a clue, you know, what the, you know, what the Latin interpretations and
that's Kevin Wheatley,
ancient
isn't it?
Greek. Kevin Wheatley.
Yeah. I once played golf behind him in a tournament. There was a big story had broken.
Oh, yes.
About something to do with his private life, something to do with him getting divorced or shagging somebody. I can't remember exactly.
Could have been a program line in Lewis when he eventually shacks up with the woman who's first on the scene to dissect the body. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, she quite fancies him, isn't she?
Yeah.
For some reason, I can't remember what this story was. I was playing golf in one of these charity events, somewhere up in North London, I think it was, or just outside Hertfordshire. And I got a phone call from the office.
Hathaway.
Hey?
Hathaway, that's what Fox's name is.
As in Anna Hathaway's cottage.
Yeah, and we'll remember his first name in a minute,
But I was one of those where I didn't do anything about it because I got a phone call just as I was leaving this event, right? And we'd been for dinner, I think.
Yeah, and picked up a story?
No, I got a call from the office saying... I can't remember what it was. I think they were just filling me in on something that was happening.
Yes.
And I said, "So what's the splash tonight then?" Or something like that. You know, one of those conversations. And the guy said, "Oh, it's
you,
about
you're in charge at the time."
I think I must have been. Yeah.
Right.
I was
okay.
Night off.
Yes.
But
yes.
I wasn't in that day, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I said, "What's the splash tonight?" And it was something like something to do with Kevin Whateley.
Yes.
And I said, "Oh, I was just playing golf behind him today." And they went, "Oh, I wish you'd told us. You could have fucking got a quote."
Exactly.
And I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I'm in the fucking business of ringing you every 5 minutes of my day off.
Really?
To tell you what I'm doing.
I would.
Yeah, but that's because you got no life.
No, I always used to do that. When I went on Holiday St. Lucia once, you know, on a facility trip.
The freebie, yeah.
I rang my deputy, who was doing the job while I wasn't there, every day.
Yeah.
To find out what's going on.
Well, that's not being on holiday.
Well,
the whole point of being on holiday is you're supposed to switch off.
It puts your mind to rest.
So anyway, what's your favourite detective series on television?
Well, forever, it's always been The Sweeney.
The Sweeney.
Which
is very good.
I've loved enormously. I'll
tell you what I've been discovering of late, which has been terrific.
Yes.
And that is, of course, Prime Suspect, which I never watched at the time.
Yeah.
But Helen Mirren,
fantastic.
What an amazing character she played.
Fantastic, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But this is not Porky Vision.
Hey,
this is not Porky Vision.
No, this is just a chart of the face. Not to do with Porky Vision.
No.
We'll do that in another program at all. Now, what I was going to say is that I can't believe some of these even got into the queue. So, Inspector Morse, I mean, you said to me when we talked about this earlier, Inspector Morse was boring.
Very slow.
Very slow program. Yeah. This, I mean, the problem was, all the time I was comparing him to Rough Tough Regan in The Sweeney.
Right.
Da-da-na,
which was brilliant.
Da-da-na.
And there's always some snap. Or some bit of stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Get your trousers on, your necks
Or, you know, cop for this, bang, they knock a few people's teeth out occasionally.
Yeah.
Roaring around in Granada cars.
And the villains were fantastic.
Villains were fantastic. Yeah. Roaring around in cars. Yeah. And of course, Jack Regan's skipper was George.
That's it.
And George was a former boxing, a police boxing champ.
Yeah.
So he used to get stuck into the villains and bash the fuck out of them all the time, you know, because that's what villains deserve. You know what I mean?
Absolutely tremendous.
Yeah. Now, believe it or not, the second was Foyle's War.
See, I've never seen that.
I like Foyle's War.
I didn't know it was a detective show.
Yeah, it is.
I thought it was about the war.
It is about the war, but the thing is, it's quite different because it's about a policeman having to work on normal crime during the war.
Oh, during the
war.
Do you see
what I mean?
Okay.
And the thing is, he...
Second World War, presumably.
Second World War. Yeah. He wants... And his son, by the way, was a Spitfire pilot during the war.
Yeah.
So there's a constant worry of him being shot down.
Yeah.
But Foyle wanted to actually...
And who plays Foyle? Is it somebody I would know?
No. I think it's the only programme he's ever done, actually.
Because I know Foyle's Bookshop. Yeah. Foyle's Bookshop in Tottenham Court Road.
So
the oldest Foyle's Bookshop.
Oh, Foyle's Bookshop, yeah.
One of the oldest bookshops in the world.
Yeah. Is it Liam Fox?
No.
Liam Fox?
He's in the government.
He's in the government, okay. Well,
he's the one that's related to me. He's related to me.
How come?
He's related to me by marriage because, I'll tell you exactly how, my mother's sister's... nephew's
a load of bollocks.
Wife. Now, hang on, I'll get this right. It's not a load of bollocks. My mother has a sister called Betty, right?
Yeah.
Now, Betty had a son called Gerald, right?
Oh, this is very interesting.
But like this stuff, you know?
Yeah, sorry, of course I do.
Yeah, I know that you don't have a fucking care in the world about your family because you don't really like anyone.
Yes,
I'm telling you the history of this.
Yeah.
So my mother has a sister called Betty, right? You work out the relationship.
Yeah.
So Betty has a son called Gerald.
Right? Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Gerald has a wife called Josephine, right?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
Josephine has a sister whose name I forget.
Oh, excuse
and
me.
And that
you
sister
up in a minute.
Is the mother of Liam Fox.
Oh, right.
So I think it's I think he's my second cousin once removed or something like that.
I've had two cups of tea since you started that rambling story.
Well, it's a very good story.
Now, listen, I want to tell you this. Line of Duty is third.
Line of Duty? Well, that's quite good.
That's the brilliant one about the anti-corruption squad.
That was quite good.
That lady, Thebo or something, was in? What was
her name? Yeah, I know
Thebo,
the one you mean, yeah.
Brilliant actress, right?
Tandy.
Hey?
Isn't it Tandy?
Thebo Tandy, yeah?
No, Tandy Newton, isn't it?
Tandy Newton? I think so. Anyway.
Then we get to
Endeavour, which is crap.
Yeah, that I've never seen.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Now, next one, Happy Valley.
Yeah, I've never seen that either.
Brilliant woman. Sarah Lancashire.
I don't like Sarah Lancashire.
Oh, I love her. She's great. Now then, guess what number six is? And we once did a little skit on this.
Oh, yeah. What, Vera?
Vera.
Way A. I quite like Vera.
Did you?
See, Vera's got some good...
Yeah, son.
But you know...
Did you nick Bucky's donut? Do you remember that?
I do. What did I do? It was a hot dog.
Did you nick Bucky's hot dog?
Yeah. It's on YouTube, and we smeared
tomato sauce all over your face. And as you turned round, after you'd said, didn't he do it?
Mm.
I says, I've got the evidence.
Well, you got the idea to
do that. Tomato sauce is on your face.
You got the idea to do that because we were going up to Newcastle.
That's right,
And you thought that we should do a bit of a local flavour of Newcastle.
That's right.
Which we did. Yeah. The thing about Vera, is that the storylines are very good.
Yes.
And she's actually all right.
Brenda Blethyn.
Yeah, but she's not kind of somebody you can get your teeth into like the sweetie.
Do you know what the problem with it was?
Yeah.
When she played a 55-year-old chief inspector in the Northumbria and City Police Force, which is a fake one, obviously, she was actually 72.
Oh, was she?
And that's what gave it away all the time. Yeah. She didn't seem to be able to move quickly.
See, because the great thing about Prime Suspect is Helen Mirren is still quite a sexy woman.
Yes, that's right.
Even, albeit that she's regarded as being a bit of an older woman, right? Yeah. Sort of 45 plus.
But she was great in that because that was a story really about a woman in a male dominated profession trying to rise to the top. Yeah. Yeah.
Drank too much, slept with the wrong people.
Now, let me tell you, we get now down to three of the worst bleeding detective shows ever. Mm. And they are in order.
Go on.
Miss Marple, Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
And A Touch of Frost. All bloody rubbish.
A Touch of Frost.
Nah, that's bollocks.
No, I like A Touch of Frost.
That was old David Jason, right?
Yeah, but he's great, though.
Nah.
Touch of Frost is great.
Nah, it's crap.
I'm not having that. I would put A Touch of Frost above Morse any day.
Yeah, Miss Marple.
Rubbish.
Never understood it.
I've never been a fan of Agatha Christie, though.
No, neither have I.
I didn't like the movies.
No.
Murder on the Orient Express.
I totally agree.
A bit too middle class, isn't
it? The only one I ever saw, which...
Monsieur Hercule Poirot.
Hercule Poirot. That's the one, Agatha Christie's Poirot.
Yeah.
What a wanker that guy was. I'm not talking about the actor.
Belgian.
I'm not talking about the actor who played him. David Suchet, was it?
David Suchet. Is he not related to the newsreader, Suchet?
No, they're brothers. They're brothers. So is David Suchet the actor? John Suchet was the... Yeah, so I'm not suggesting for a moment that...
You said he was a wanker.
I said the actor is not a wanker. The character, for my view, was this silly little man with a silly little moustache.
Yeah.
Well, you know, walking around like a penguin, trying to, display his genius as a detective. I thought it was absolute, load of rubbish. Now, another one we come to is Midsummer Murders. I've never seen it.
I don't mind Midsummer Murders.
It's ridiculous. It's one village in Middle England where somebody gets murdered every week.
It's not really. No. Right? Midsummer is kind of like the Cotswolds, right?
Yeah.
So you've got different villages and towns within Midsummer. Midsummer is like the Cotswolds.
Yeah.
So if you think of the Cotswolds, right, where you've got Lower Slaughter, you've got Upper Slaughter.
Oh, I see. But still a load of murders going on
there. It still would have a very much higher per capita murder rate.
Yes. Lawrence Fox.
What?
It's Lawrence Fox, isn't it?
It might be.
Yeah, it is, Lawrence. You're Lawrence right. Fox!
Okay, calm down. It's not Lawrence of fucking Arabia, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
The point is that, Midsummer Murders actually is quite endearing, as long as it's got that guy John Nettles.
John Nettles
is the
boss.
Because Nettles stopped doing it, and they passed it on to another bloke.
Oh, really?
Who was meant to come and be his cousin or something.
Okay.
Right? Because he's obviously still called... Inspector, whatever his name
is.
Without nettles, it's rubbish.
Now, what I'd understand is Broadchurch is 15th. Broadchurch was the best.
Well,
Broadchurch was Brillo.
No.
Except they had a very poor ending.
Well,
and every episode of Broadchurch.
They did three, right?
Yeah, they had a very poor ending.
The third series was crap.
Yeah.
Right? The first series was
really
good.
Was that about the woman who was raped who lived in the bungalow?
I think that was the second one.
Was that the second one? Okay, yeah. Yeah, but that was a poor ending because the actual rapist was somebody who'd hardly been in the show up till then.
That doesn't matter so much.
Crap.
But certainly the first series was better than the second series. And I'm not even sure if there was a third series. But if there was...
I think there has been.
Who knows? Talking about crime, by the way.
Yeah.
there's been a couple of big developments which you haven't really talked about, partly because legally we should be careful.
Yeah.
Gosport, right? Yeah. The crime capital of Britain, as I call it,
is
now at the centre of a massive probe.
Yes.
Because some woman, they think, has done a sort of Harold Shipman and been murdering loads of patients. 545 or something like that.
She could be Britain's biggest mass killer.
She could. Now, we're not going to say her name because it may not be true.
No, it's an allegation.
She's given a statement to say that she always tried her best.
Yes, that's right.
To which I thought to myself, does she mean I always tried my best to murder them? Or does she mean...
No, she'll always try, always try her best for her patients.
Oh, OK.
There's lots of speculation. Is this Britain's biggest ever mass killing? Without insinuating or implicating that doctor, of course, who tried her best.
Well, there's no doubt that there was morphine and opiates being handed out by sweets in a factory to patients who might otherwise have lived.
Do you remember where you were when Shipman died?
No.
I do.
Where?
I think I was working. I wasn't working. It was a Sunday, but I was the boss, like, you know...
Boss of what?
Of the Express on my day off.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you were the boss of the Express. What are you talking about?
Well, I was of that part of the Express.
No, you were the news editor.
Yeah, but I mean super news editor. You know, I had a lot of influence there, yeah.
As well, they got rid of
it. And I got a call from that little guy who used to be the night editor, like, on Sundays. Andy somebody?
No, Andy Gregory.
Andy Gregory?
Yeah,
yeah, that's right,
the Bolton boy.
Hey?
The Bolton boy.
Bolton boy, yeah. From Bolton, aren't I? Andy Gregory, I say it like it is, you will remain.
I used to make him make me tea, he used to drive
Excellent.
Me mad.
Yeah, good.
When he was technically my boss.
Yes, that's right, yeah. You know. And he said, Heather was editing that day.
Yeah.
We won't go any further, just say Heather, okay?
You sure you're not mistaking this story for the Fred West story? I think you are.
Is it the Fred West story?
Yeah, I think it is.
Did they both hang themselves in jail?
Well, Fred West certainly did.
Yeah, Fred
Shipman,
West did.
I think, fell to a similar fate.
Yes, that's right.
But the players that you are recounting, I think, were the two involved in
could
the Fred West story.
But anyway,
I've got further disturbing information for you as the portmaster. Because, of course, Gosport, one of your many homes, right?
Yes.
A place where you've admitted yourself you used to walk past every day you were down there. The Memorial Hospital of Gosport, right?
I did, yeah.
Luckily, you were never taken in.
No.
But
if I'd had a sudden heart, you know, palpitation, I was walking past, who knows what might have happened?
Well, you might have been given an opiate.
I might have been given a massive opiate overdose or something.
Now, it turns out that there's another massive place which is very closely associated with you, which is, of course, Chester.
Wow.
Which has now got another massive criminal working inside it, right? In the hospital as well.
Yeah.
And this is a woman who's just been arrested.
I can't believe it.
And may be charged with the deaths of about 8 infants.
And attempted murder of 6 more.
Yeah, and she's meant to be, the nurse in the maternity
what
unit.
What shocks you so much is you think, I know that hospital so well. Yeah. It's on the Liverpool Road.
Well, I was trying to work out where, because her parents live somewhere other than Chester.
Hertfordshire. Herefordshire.
Oh, Herefordshire.
Right,
yeah. They're searching her house.
That's right.
Her parents' house.
Yeah.
I was trying to work out if you might know where she lived.
Well, I do know where she lived. Yeah. She lived in a place called Blaken. Now, in the past, I've said to you, there's this dreadful downbeat estate in Chester. Yeah, there's dreadful downbeat estate in Chester called Blaken.
Oh, it's a down marketplace, is it?
Well, it used to be, but as usual, what's happened is there's been gentrification.
Oh, yeah.
And she bought a house, which is a bit of a mystery, really, because she's a nurse, only been working there for 2 or 3 years since she qualified from...
So where'd she get the money from, is that what you're saying?
£138,000 house.
Mm.
She graduated from the University of Chester, which must be the worst bleeding university in the country.
I thought it was quite a good university.
Well, when I was about 18 or 19, I got a summer job in a plastics factory, right, in Chester. No, I'm serious.
What sort of plastics factory?
Well, I can't believe how it used to happen. The economy was absolutely wrecked in those days. It was run by Harold Wilson and all his socialist cronies, you know, and the car industry was, you know, falling apart. You know, overseas sales were down. You know,
Steel was knackered. Railways knackered.
Everything was nationalised. Laughing stock of Europe. Mm. And yet, I went to see this bloke in a place called Gildon Sutton, which is just outside Chester, and said, "Oh, hello, my name's Mike Parry. You know, I'm from the King's School. I'd like a holiday job here." Yeah. He said, "You can have one." I said, "Oh, right. What do I do?" He said, "You're coming here every day, you work 8 hours, and you see that machine that goes, oom, bang, wah.
Right.
Oom, bang, wah." I said, "Yeah." He said, "When you've heard the oom, bang, wah bit, open the safety gate and pull a plastic lid out, which goes on top of a Pyrex box made on the machine next to you."
Okay.
I said, "Okay, right, fine."
So sort of a Tupperware manufacturer.
Yeah, Tupperware. That's what it was, yeah. So, so I thought, this is quite easy. But anyway, so if you're on the day shift, you normally had your work done by about, you know, like within 4 or 5 hours. Mm. They had to pretend to do something else. But on the night shift, we used to go in, speed the machines up, All the lids came out within 4 hours on an 8-hour shift, and then we spent the next 4 hours sleeping in sleeping bags we took in and drinking.
Why do you want to sleep and drink? You could surely do one or the other.
No, no, we'd have a few sherbets and then get our head down and then go home when the shift was over at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And the next shift came in, but God knows who he was selling all these plastic
lids.
Well,
where did you bring the booze from? Where did that come from?
Well, you brought it in, didn't you?
Did you?
Yeah, in bags and said, oh, this
is... Well, so you all turned up with a bag full of booze and the night watchman didn't go, what the hell do you think you're doing?
No, you said it was your packed lunch and your packed breakfast, OK?
Yeah,
and you put it in boxes.
Like a six-pack of Heineken.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But the point of my story is, almost everybody else who worked in there was from Chester Teachers Training College, right?
Right.
Bunch of lefties, okay? You know, who didn't know anything about the real world.
They're trying to master the means of production.
Yeah, trying to master the means of production, all that kind of stuff, you know. Right. But the amazing thing was, they all said, oh, you know, it's great. So one time they said, why don't you come down to the Chester Training College, the Teachers Training College, and have a beer in the student bar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I go down there, and I mean, I'm not joking, it's about the size of a greenhouse, really. Right. Yeah, that's all it is, you know. And I said, oh, that's lecture theatre.
Was there a lot of women there or something? Is that where you went?
No, I just went because I thought, you know...
Because we used to go, when I was at Bath, we used to go to a place called Domsky, which was the domestic science college, which was full of women.
For some reason,
there was no men there at all.
Oh, well, don't worry, because in Nottingham, when I eventually went to the University of the Trent, we went to the nurse's home every night on the way home. Yeah, absolutely, yeah, that wasn't a problem at all. Yeah, okay. The point I'm making is, so that was Chester Teacher Training College.
Yeah.
It was in one building down the Parkgate Road, and I think it had about, 200 students.
Mm.
Now, the University of Chester... Yeah. It's got a massive campus which stretches right across the city.
Yeah.
It's got 8,000 students.
Mm. All paying $9,000 a year.
But God knows what they're doing when they come out of Chester University.
Let's hope they're not joining forces with this woman who kills babies.
I think it's rather unfortunate. Remember, in this country you're innocent until proved guilty.
Very true. We're the two mics.
Is it Liam Fox?
No,
Liam Fox?
He's in the government.
He's in the government. Okay. Well,
he's the one that's related to me.
He is.
He's related to me.
How come?
He's related to me by marriage because, I'll tell you exactly how.
Yeah.
My mother's sister's nephew's wife. Now, hang on. I'll get this right. Mm. It's not a load of bollocks.
Mm.
My mother has a sister called Betty, right?
Yeah.
Now, Betty had a son called Gerald. Right.
Oh, this is very interesting.
But people like this stuff, you know?
Yeah, sorry, of course they do.
Yeah, I know that you don't have a fucking care in the world about your family because you don't really like anyone.
Yes,
I'm telling you the history of this.
Yeah.
So my mother has a sister called Betty, right? You work out the relationship.
Yeah.
So Betty has a son called Gerald.
Right? Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Gerald has a wife called Josephine, right?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
Josephine has a sister whose name I forget.
Oh, excuse me.
And that
you won't
sister
be up in a minute.
Is the mother of Liam Fox.
Oh, right.
So I think it's I think he's my second cousin once removed or something like that.
I've had two cups of tea since you started that rambling story.
Well, it's a very good story.
Oh, Hercule Poirot. That's one. Agatha Christie's Poirot.
Yeah.
What a wanker that guy was. I'm not talking about the actor.
Belgian.
I'm not talking about the actor who played him. David Suchet, was it?
David Suchet. Is he not related to the newsreader, Suchet?
No, they're brothers. They're brothers. So what was is David Suchet the actor? John Suchet.
John Suchet was
the... So I'm not suggesting for a moment that...
you said he was a wanker.
I said the actor is not a wanker. The character, for my view, was this silly little man with a silly little moustache.
Yeah.
Well, you know, walking around like a penguin, trying to, you know, display his genius as a detective. I thought it was absolute, load of rubbish. And it's not expensive, really, is it?
Well, of course it is. 5,000 quid for a watch.
Yeah, but the reason...
You buy a car for that.